We're starting a new series today called When the Church Prays. And you can see it's a series that I've never done before. The message I'm speaking today, I've never preached before. And you can see this banner up here. We're preparing for 10 days of fasting and prayer beginning September the 15th through the 25th. And we're going to be having corporate prayer in the evenings here at the church from 6:30 to 7:30. And the Lord just laid this message on my heart as I was preparing for this season of prayer. When the church prays, the priority of praying together. Wow, my goal this morning is to show you the value of corporate prayer, of praying together. Why am I talking about this today? Well, first of all, the 10 days of prayer that are coming up, and then corporate prayer is on par, and I'm going to show you in the scripture that corporate prayer is on par in the early church in the New Testament with preaching and teaching the Word of God. That's how important corporate prayer was. Praying together is vital. Now, I'm going to say something here. To God doing things that wouldn't be done unless we prayed together. We're all for personal prayer. You know, we talk about it a lot, how important a daily, sometimes we call it a quiet time is. And how valuable that is. But there's things that God only does when His church and when His people come together and praise together. And I'm going to show you in the scripture how important corporate prayer, because many of you, I can see in your eyes right now, you're like, I don't like praying with people. I don't like praying out loud. Nobody said you had to pray out loud. How many of us been in those prayer meetings where we get in that circle and we join the hands and then all of a sudden somebody starts praying and we're like, oh no. I mean, if everybody else prays, does that mean I have to pray too? And we're just standing there in that circle and we're like, oh, I don't like praying out loud. I don't like praying with people. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden, somebody starts praying. And it's like, they're never going to stop praying. And like, will they ever be quiet? Oh, how long are they going to pray? And it's like 15 minutes later, they're still praying. And they prayed about everything that they know to pray about. And you're still standing there holding hands. And your mind's wandering, but they're still praying. And you're like, will they please be quiet? And that's what we think about when we think about corporate prayer. Or we think about that person and we're like, are they going to speak in those tongues again? Oh my goodness. I don't know about that. I'm a Baptist going to this non-denominational church. And I don't know about them speaking in those tongues. Man, they might hit me and I ain't going to do that. I ain't gonna speak in them tongues, no. So we're standing there in that circle, we're not even praying. Then all of a sudden it gets to where every person has prayed except you. And you're like, no, this is so embarrassing. I'll never participate in corporate prayer again. Never. I can just pray by myself. Well, can I assure you, when I'm talking about corporate prayer, I'm not talking about what I described. Because it just scares so many people. They just think that, man, I've got to pray. And you know what's really bad? When you want to pray, but the one that just prayed before you prayed like a theologian. And they prayed like every verse in the Bible. And you're just trying to remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You're just trying to remember that verse, you know. But they just prayed every verse in the Bible and they used just such beautiful language. It was so heavenly. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm just a country hick. And I'm going to sound like just somebody from Louisiana, from like my wife does. Or maybe even Arkansas. And we're like, I just don't want to do that. I'm not talking about that kind of corporate prayer, my friend. That's why, because corporate prayer sometimes it's got a bad name. And we have the tendency among believers, even among those that occupy leadership positions in the church, is to think that prayer gatherings, we think of prayer gatherings as just an extracurricular activity of the church. When really it's on par with the preaching and the teaching, and I'm going to show you in Scripture in just a moment. Wow. I mean, they're good to have. Can everybody say amen? You know, those prayer meetings are good to have. They're really good to have. But not really important enough for me to join. Something, I mean, it's really something you just kind of tack on to part of the service. You just kind of put it there. We prayed. Yeah, we prayed. And sometimes that's what has happened with corporate prayer in the body of Christ. It's just like an extracurricular activity that we have. There are a number of growing believers today in the body of Christ who view prayer meetings as optional, maybe secondary. I'm going to show you in the Scriptures the value of corporate prayer. I'm on a mission today. I want to convince you that God has sovereignly ordained corporate prayer in the church to do things in extraordinary ways, which He would not have done if the church had not prayed together. I can remember this, because this message has been on my heart, and all week long I was just going over it, and I don't want for you and me to think, well, personal prayer is not important, because it is. I'm not taking away from personal prayer at all. But corporate prayer is so important. I'm like, why? Holy Spirit, why is corporate prayer so important? Because He said it's the one time when God's church gets together and they're just not praying about only for their personal needs, but they're praying about what God wants to be done as a corporate body of believers. How many times have you and I got into prayer, personal prayer, and really, I do it all the time. I just pray about me. I just pray about my day. I pray about this and I pray about that. That affects my life. But when we get together corporately, God does something special because we're praying not just about for what we need, but for what He wants to be done in the earth. That's the value of corporate prayer. I'm not trying to minimize personal prayer again. It's to show you that personal prayer alone will not result in the work that God wants to do to transform churches, to transform cities, to transform a nation, to transform the world. Personal prayer will not just do that, but when we get together corporately, my friend, and we begin to pray according to the will of God, my friend, corporately, it transforms lives. It can transform a city. It can transform a nation, my friend, when we pray corporately. I want to talk to you about being a praying church, not just a church that prays. I can remember on a Wednesday night, still remember it just as clear, because today is our 7-year anniversary here at Encounter Church, and Jeannie and I are having just an incredible time. But since the beginning, we've prioritized prayer. And I can remember Wednesday night, I was standing about right there, and God spoke to me, and He said, make this place a house of prayer. Just so clear, make this place a house of prayer. And since then, we have been putting effort into this house being a house of prayer. Why is praying together so valuable? Just share with you a few things. Why is praying together so valuable? The first thing is this: praying together was a priority of Jesus Christ. It was a priority of Jesus Christ. When Jesus talked about prayer, about 33 of 36 times, and some of these are duplicated through the Gospels, but about 33, I think it was 36 times, when he talked about corporate prayer, and this is the way theologians worded it. He talked about it in the plural form and not just the singular form. He talked about it to a plural audience and not just to a singular audience. I mean, corporate prayer. I mean, Jesus believed in corporate prayer. Jesus' instructions decisively leaned toward people praying together to see God's work done. One of the things the disciples asked Jesus, and if you've heard sermons on prayer, you've heard this before in the book of Luke, they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So what does he give them? The Lord's Prayer. Well, have you ever really looked at the Lord's Prayer? And I'm going to read it from Matthew. He says, Jesus said, pray like this, our Father, not my Father, our Father, corporately, more than one, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Man, when people get together corporately and they put aside sometimes their own personal needs and stuff, and they set that aside, and they begin to pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Corporately, there's something happens, my friend, that doesn't happen until we pray together and declare, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And it goes on to say, give what? Everybody say it with me. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I mean, Jesus was into people praying together corporately. You can see that here in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus deliberately emphasized the significance of people praying together. Matthew 18 and 19, he said this, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Wow. What would it be like if a corporate body got together and prayed together, agreeing together? Man, things begin to happen that wouldn't happen until we prayed together. That's the value of corporate prayer. The focus of Jesus on more than one praying indicates that there's a design in our gatherings in which God moves as we pray together corporately. The second thing about corporate prayer is praying together was a priority for the apostles. If you read through the scriptures, you see that it was a practice they put into priority of praying together. You know, in Acts chapter 6, there's a real interesting passage of scripture. It's after the early church has been birthed, and they're, you know, this thing is being formed, and, you know, they have some issues. And in Acts chapter 6, it says this, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, this is the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I was raised in church. I've read this scripture many times, and it's been taught this way, that what the apostles were talking about in this moment is that we can't go and serve those tables because we personally need to give ourselves to personal prayer. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. Because if you read every other account right up to Acts chapter 6, about prayer. Let's just read it and see, and we'll come to a conclusion here that the apostles, they gave praying together was a priority for them. Acts 1 and 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Everybody say, all these. Wow. Acts 1:24, and they prayed. They prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these you have chosen." They prayed together. Acts 2:42, all right. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers, all right? Acts 3:1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. What? Corporate prayer again. Acts 4:23, 24. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers, everybody say all the believers, lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Again, we have the believers praying together. In Acts 4:31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So, you know, by testimony and by example, it's plain to see that the apostles valued praying together. They valued praying together. I mean, the believers were always getting together to pray. And they valued that. And so you get to Acts chapter 6:1, when they were saying, we've got to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They were talking about prayer corporately. That's what we're called to do, is to lead the body of believers in prayer corporately and in the ministry of the word, because it was so common among the early church. They loved getting together and praying together. And my friend, God did extraordinary things there in the early church because they got together and they prayed together. They sought God together. They said, and again, I'm not trying to take any value away from personal prayer, because we all need that. But they valued corporately getting together and praying. And God did extraordinary things among them when they prayed together. Wow. Together. They considered guiding the corporate prayer life of the church just as critical and valuable as the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Praying together was a priority for the apostles. Praying together was a priority in the early church. We've talked about some of the passages already that they clearly connected and were unified in corporate prayer. The 120 were gathered in an upper room praying in one accord when Pentecost comes. That's in the book of Acts. You can read about it there, Acts 1:13, Acts 2:1. And then the disciples prayed for wisdom and knowing whose Judas replacement should be. They prayed together. And when Peter and John, and I just read that in Acts chapter 4, when they had reported the Sanhedrin's threats, they'd been arrested and then they were freed. And then when they went to their believers and they reported the threats, the Bible says that they prayed together. They prayed together, and the place was shaken. The church prayed over the seven men appointed to care for the widows. The church prayed over those men. Wow. After James was martyred and Peter was imprisoned by Herod, the Bible says that the church prayed fervently for them. Acts 12:5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God. By who? By the church. Corporate prayer, praying together. It was a priority for the early church. When the prophets and teachers were praying and fasting together in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, set apart Saul and Barnabas for that which I've called them to. In Acts chapter 13, 1 and 2, it reads like this. Now in the church there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Wow. Here they were, part of the local church there. Wow, you mean even after Saul had an encounter with Jesus Christ and was commissioned by Jesus, he still needed to be part of the local church and prayed over by the leaders and sent out? Yes. But they prayed together. That's another message. It's always better to be sent than just going. They prayed together. And the Holy Spirit spoke in that moment, said, set aside Saul and Barnabas for that which I've called them to do. And they sent them out. Paul and Silas later prayed together after being thrown into a prison cell. The Bible says in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Again, I'm not trying to discourage personal private prayer. We all need that. We all need that in our lives. Ananias was praying alone when God spoke to him and told him to go to Saul. Peter was praying alone, or he'd been asleep actually, and he's in God's presence and had a vision. And there on that roof, he was alone when God spoke to him, and he went to Cornelius' house. So I'm not discouraging personal prayer, but I want you to know, my friend, that God moves in ways that he wouldn't otherwise move when we pray corporately, when we come together and we pray. The majority of God's work in the New Testament that we read, and the working of God and the miracles and the signs and the wonders, they all came out of people praying together and God moving. Praying together is a priority for Jesus, a priority for the apostles, a priority for the early church. And praying together has been a priority throughout church history. And I don't know if any of you have ever studied any of the past revivals and the great awakenings and what preceded those moments of an outpouring of God's Spirit was people coming together and praying. And I'm going to only talk about one of them, and it's one during our time. Some of you may have went, some of you I know may have heard about it. There's many examples, but on Father's Day, June 18, 1995, on a Sunday, the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida began. Evangelist Steve Hill was a guest speaker that morning. And the pastor of that church, Pastor John Kilpatrick, and both Pastor John and Evangelist Steve Hill said this. He said on that morning you could hear in that great outpouring of the Spirit a mighty wind that blew through the church. What led to that revival? I never personally went there to Brownsville and experienced that revival. But what led to that revival? 2 years of prayer in the church preceded that great outpouring of God's Spirit there in Pensacola. I know this personally because just after that great revival started there, Pastor Kilpatrick had already been scheduled to be a guest speaker at First Assembly of God in Port Arthur Church, in Port Arthur, Texas, at the place where Jeannie and I started in the ministry. Just a couple of weeks after the revival had started. And so he held his commitment, even though revival was happening. He held his commitment and came to First Assembly in Port Arthur. And I still remember the moment he laid his hand on me and prayed and prophesied something that's still burning in my heart. And it's yet to come to pass, but it will. And Pastor Kilpatrick said this. He was talking about the revival. And he said this. He said, in 1993, God laid it on my heart to discontinue a regular Sunday evening service. And we were going to have a prayer meeting. And he said for 2 years on Sunday night, every Sunday night, they gathered for prayer. And they prayed for the nations for 2 years. I had the flags of the nations all in their lot bigger sanctuary. And they had the flags of the nations there. And for 2 years, they met every Sunday night and prayed for revival, for an outpouring of God's Spirit. 2 years. 2 years. Everybody say 2 years. Sometimes we go to corporate prayer and it's like, that wasn't much. Don't think I'll go back. 2 years. They gathered on a Sunday evening at that church and prayed for revival. Pointing at every flag. They had groups of people that were appointed to pray for specific nations of the flags. And they did for 2 years. Then on that Sunday morning, as Pastor Kilpatrick shared the story, on that Sunday morning of Father's Day, when God just began to pour out His Spirit, He said He got to the church very early and He walked into the sanctuary. And He hit like a glory cloud, a weight of God in the sanctuary. And He knew something special was going to begin. He had no idea that it was going to be what it had, you know, turned out to be. But there was a great outpouring of Spirit. Some of you have heard of it. Anybody here that went? Did I already ask you that? Anybody here that went? There were several in the first service too that had went to that. But what preceded that was 2 years of prayer, of corporate prayer, of the people in that church coming together and praying for revival, for God to pour out His Spirit. 2 years. The priority of corporate prayer can be seen even today in the revivals that in which God has moved and poured out His Spirit. I can tell you story after story of how corporate prayer became the springboard for a mighty move of God. The people just coming together and praying for God to move in a very special way. The priority of praying together. Praying together is a priority for the last one, for God's work today. For God's work today. It hasn't changed. The priority of praying together. Right now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is sweeping the globe at a rate that is unimaginable. They say, that from 1990, anybody here born after 1990? Right, yeah. Man, all these young people around, it's incredible. Several in our first service, born after 1990. They say that more people have come to Christ since 1990 and now than in the history of the world. Exponentially. People have been coming to Christ all over the world. Wow. Think about that. In almost every quarter of the globe, Christianity is advancing. Except for four primary areas. North America, Japan, Australia, and Western Europe. But every other place, all over the world, Christianity is spreading like wildfire, if I can say it that way. We support a ministry here through Encounter Church. It's called Equip. It's an outreach ministry of John Maxwell. And they just, this last week, since that ministry began, crossed the threshold of 1 million lost souls being born again in the last few years. And over 95% of those have been in other places of the globe. Other than, now I'm just going to let it hit home, North America. Is that? Is it because we've got it so good? Okay. Is it because we worship our prosperity? more than we care for the lost to be born again? We're so blessed, and I thank God for it. But I'm telling you, all over the globe, people are being born again. Lives are being changed. And at every place where God is moving like that, you go back and you look at it, and it stems from corporate prayer. And they're getting together and they're praying together. Korea. Track what God's doing in Korea. Track what God's doing in China with the underground church, where these people are so hungry to just get a page of the Bible. Just a page of the Bible. And secretly gather to have church. In Pakistan, right now. In Pakistan. I can't remember if I shared this last week or the week before, but a pastor that I know very close to, he has a church that he's connected with the pastor there in Pakistan. And in fact, he's like a spiritual father over that church. And it was last week he got a phone call in the middle of the night that he knew when he looked at this caller ID that wasn't good. And he answered the phone, and it was that pastor. And that pastor's life, he was devastated, and he was weeping over the other end of the phone because his church had just been burned down. His house had just been burned down. Every bit of his livelihood had been removed from him. And he and his family had nothing. Everything had been stolen from him because he was a Christian and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this pastor was like, just heart was broken. He was reaching out to people. Can you help? Can you help? We've got to get them some finance. We've got to get them something, some resources to do something. Wow, we're blessed. My friends, sometimes our blessing, I wonder if it's kept us. From a sense of needing to really get together and pray. Corporate prayer. And I know what you're thinking. Well, our prayer meetings don't really seem to convey that sort of power that some of them might be experiencing. Then you be the change that's needed. You be the change that's needed. I'm going to pray. And here's my prayer as I wrap this up. Here's my prayer. Is that you will determine to take one step forward in your participation and confidence in prayer, in corporate prayer. Does that mean I have to pray out loud? No, that's what it means. Very seldom when we have corporate prayer do we stand in a circle and hold hands and pray. Very seldom. That's not what I'm talking about. Holding hands and praying and standing in a circle and singing Kumbaya. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about 10 days of prayer where you set aside time, where you say, okay, this is a priority in my life. You see, we don't have a time management problem. We have a priority problem. It's not time management. We all have 24 hours in a day. It's a priority thing in our life. What's priority? So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you as we begin. We're heading toward our 10 days of prayer. But just take a step forward in your participation. Not just praying individually, but with other believers, gathered together with the purpose of seeing God's glory manifested like it's never been manifested before. In our church, in our city, in our state, in our nation. Of just setting aside our own agenda and saying, I'm going to pray for the glory of God to come. And for God to move the way He wants to move among us. That's my challenge to you, those of you that are watching, is to make it a praying together a priority as we approach this 10 days of fasting and prayer, to make it a priority. Does it mean I may have to say no to something? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I'm not just going to. Does that mean I may have to say no to this or that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, to make that a priority. Won't you stand with me as we wrap up today? It's a little bit different message than sometimes when I preach. But when the church prays, here's what I wonder. And this is speculation. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, now this is speculation. It's not just, it's speculation. It's not just, this is, I'm not sitting here saying this is the word I heard from God and everything. But I just wonder. I just wonder if we've just seen the decline in Christianity in our own country. Because we as believers have not valued corporate prayer. Of really coming together and praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit, humbling ourselves before Him, turning from our wicked ways, and saying, God, heal our land, heal our land, heal our land. Because sometimes we've seen the prayer meeting as the extracurricular activity in the church. And here's something that we all have the ability to do, is pray. Pray. And pray together. Pray together for God to move. Set aside our agenda. I didn't do it, but I would encourage you to do it. I'm about to close in prayer. Pastor Tyler's going to come up and share some announcements, and you'll be dismissed. Kind of a different ending to a church service sometimes. But here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I may do this. I'll challenge you to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and figure out how many hours there are in a year. In a whole year, how many hours there are. And then I'm going to figure out how many hours that pastor and Jim and Linda Bober have been leading this 10 days thing, and how many hours they're going to ask me to gather for 10 days and pray. I think it's about 10 hours, huh? And how many hours that is compared to the number of hours in a whole year. You know, Jonathan appears probably, he's a brainiac, man. He's probably already got the number figured out for the whole year. I don't know. But just compare the two. And I'm just challenging you with this message. Because God moves when the church prays together. God moves when the church prays together. And we set aside time to pray together. And pray His agenda and what He wants above all else. God moves in ways that He wouldn't move otherwise. He wouldn't move otherwise. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for today. I know as I kick off this series, a little bit different message, Lord. But I believe it's a call of Your Holy Spirit, God. Bring us to a place of corporate prayer as a church. Because we're part of a body. We all have a place in the body, God. Certainly. And Father, in no way again do I want to devalue the need for personal, private prayer. We all need that every day, I believe. I believe every day we should be spending time with You. But Father, this is the time we can see in the early church, God, these people prayed together. I mean, the apostles, when they got out of Peter and John, they got with the other believers. And Father, they had a prayer meeting. And on the day of Pentecost, man, it wasn't just the apostles that were praying. It was a whole group of people, Lord. Mary, the mother of Jesus, his family was there. And Father, they were praying corporately together. For 10 days they prayed. And God, you poured out your spirit on the day of Pentecost. And God, we could just see you moving in an extraordinary way as your people come and they pray together. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, will just water the seed of this word, Father, on the hearts of your children, on the hearts of the Encounter family. And that, God, we will make it a priority that for these 10 days that are upcoming, Father, we're going to be a part of what you're doing here. We're going to connect ourselves. We're going to set aside. I know we all have personal issues. We all have personal things. But we're going to set those things aside, and God, and we're going to pray for thy kingdom come, thy will be done here, Father, in our city, Father, in our nation, here at Encounter Church, God. Father, I pray that the value of praying together will be seen in the heart of everyone, Father, that calls Encounter Church home. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.